Bibles, I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. And, as always, God called his people to support his work. So as you're led and as you are inspired in your heart, you can give according to what the Lord directs you to give, and he'll bless you and it'll be good. Amen? Amen. So here at VCF, you can do that anytime. In Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption, not going to get it. We have it right now. Amen? Amen. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So we have redemption, we have forgiveness, we're abounding in wisdom, and we know his will. Say, I know his will. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Say, I've obtained an inheritance. Our inheritance is in Christ. And he's given us an inheritance, and we've obtained it. Amen. Now, God can give you something, but you still have to possess it. Amen. How many know that God gave land to Israel? It was called Canaan land. And when you read about Canaan land, the Bible talks about it in these terms. The Lord has given this to you. Okay? But they still had to possess Canaan land, didn't they? Even though it was already given to them, even though it was already designated to them with their name on it, they still had to possess it. Now, what does Canaan land represent for us today? It represents all of the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Anything that God wants you to have, anything that he wants you to be, that is our Canaan land. Amen? Now, you might say, well, I thought Canaan land is heaven. Well, are we going to have to find giants in heaven? No. So Canaan land is not heaven. Canaan land is the promises of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what I like the Bible says about his promises? All his promises are what? Yes and amen. That's yes and so be it. Amen? So his promises are for us today. Okay? And we've obtained an inheritance, verse 11, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Let me tell you something. When you possess God's promises, you are the praise of his glory. Amen? God gets excited for us to obtain his promises. Amen? He wants his promises to be activated and to be operated in our life. His promises are for everyday living. Okay? Who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. See, I've been sealed with a promise. You know, Jesus told the disciples, wait for the promise. And he left, but he left someone in his place, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is to bring us into all truth. He's to lead, guide, and direct us, and he's to help us. He even lets us know what we have. Amen? So God is good. And then verse 14, he is the earnest of our inheritance, or the down payment, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Is there anything that our inheritance does not include? Say, it's all in there. I read this list last week, but I'm going to read it again. We're talking about the blessing of our inheritance. Our inheritance is all-encompassing, all-inclusive, and contains everything we need, we want, and we desire. Amen? Do you have needs? God said he'll meet your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have desires? He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you what? The desires of your heart. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. So he'll take care of your wants too, amen? Say, it's okay to have wants. God's not afraid if you want something. Amen? Let me ask you something. Did Jesus lack anything when he was on this earth? When they had to pay the temple tax, he didn't have in his pocket, but he knew it was in the sea. So he told Peter, put in your line, and the first fish you catch, it'll pay your tax and my tax. Okay? And this is our inheritance. Our inheritance includes all spiritual good. And it's provided to us through Christ, and it's grounded on his promises. It's proven. Amen? And our inheritance is immediate. It's right now. And it's ultimate. It's not going to go away. It's not going to fade away. You know, your inheritance can't be tarnished. You know what happens when you have metal that tarnishes? It kind of becomes dull. It loses its luster, and it doesn't look so pretty. And you got to get out the chemicals to clean it, right? And once you clean it, then you bring back the shine to it. It's like waxing an old car, okay? As legitimate heirs, we share equally and jointly with Jesus, who is the firstborn from the dead. Amen? Normally, the firstborn gets the double portion, but because we're joint heirs with Jesus, we get what he gets. Okay? And our spiritual inheritance is based on our relationship with Christ. Just because, you know, it's important who you know. He said in John 17:3, he said, eternal life is this, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Amen? So our inheritance is based on our relationship with Christ. And in order for us to be truly free, we need to continue in the truth. Amen? We're not going to depart from the truth. So we know our inheritance is our birthright. All right? You are born into the family of God. And being born into the family of God, it gives you rights, it gives you privileges, and it gives you benefits. Amen? It is good to be a Christian. It is bad not to be. With being a Christian, God gives you promises. God will provide. God will protect. God will watch over you. We have a birthright. It's our rights and privileges because we are born into the family of God. Amen? You ever get born again? You know, I always wanted to get a shirt. If you didn't like being born, be born again. It's kind of like a redo. Okay? And then, of course, our inheritance has to be received as a gift. How many like to get gifts? Okay? And you get gifts for your birthday, you get gifts at Christmas, right? People, they spend time to try to pick things out for you, don't they? The people that love you and the people that value you, okay? And, you know, if we could only have a gift cam and watch people go through the process of buying us gifts, amen? Now God, he knows every person better than any other person. There's nobody on earth that knows another person like God knows that person. Amen? And I'll tell you what, God is a lavish giver. He loves to give gifts. And see, our inheritance is a gift. He didn't have to include us in his will, but he did. And it's, we have to receive our inheritance like a gift. Okay? Let's just, to give you an example, this is just a little bottle of oil. And Les, if I was to give you this bottle, how would you take it? Now, who has it? Okay, now whatever that oil can do, however it can benefit you, you are free to use it because I've just given it to you. And you simply just received it, right? You didn't have to do anything to get this. I just wanted you to have it. Right? That's just like God. He simply just wanted you to have an inheritance. And he gives you that inheritance. Now, some people, they take a gift that they were given and they put it on the shelf. They don't do anything with it. They never use it. It just collects dust. Now, if we were to take God's gift of our inheritance and never do anything with it, oh, you celebrate it when it was given to you, but you just set it on the shelf for it to collect dust. Amen? Listen, you got to receive your inheritance as a gift. You got to use it. You got to do something with it. Amen? Your inheritance is your legal right to possess everything that God has said, spoken to you. Everything that God said you can have, you can legally possess because your name was written in his will. And he died, and now his will is in effect. And when you come to the reading of the will, I talked about this last night, then you get to find out what's yours. Healing is yours. Salvation is yours. Deliverance is yours. Provision is yours. See, but sometimes we just don't believe that God will provide for us. Because we're so geared to having provision come certain ways. Now, it's true that God said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, right? But how many know that there's different types of work? I'm working right now. I work on Sundays. Amen? You know, I remember a minister, and I'll tell that story. This minister, before he got into the ministry, owned a body shop. And he got saved. And the Lord specifically led him to close his body shop. But he said, Lord, I got to work. I got to provide for my family. And the Lord instructed a contractor to come to this man who owned a body shop and to give him a job. Now, this guy who owned a body shop, he said, I don't know anything about construction. He said, you know, I worked on cars, but I don't know about building stuff. But the contractor said, the Lord just told me to hire you. Because the Lord instructed this guy who owned the body shop to spend 8 hours a day studying the Word. And the Lord said, I don't care what hours you spend studying the Word, you just have to spend this amount of time studying the Word. And this contractor paid him. The Lord told the contractor to pay this guy. And this guy got his needs met. You know why? Because he was obedient. He did what the Lord told him to do. He closed his body shop, and he started working for this contractor. And he had family time, so he spent most of his nights studying the Word. But this was only for a period of time. That minister's name is Jerry Savelle. Maybe you know him. But I remember him telling that story. And he's got a thriving ministry today. Because he took his inheritance and he received it. Because when you receive it, that means you value it. That means you start doing something with it. Listen, if someone gives me an electric knife, I'm certainly not going to cut a turkey by hand. And I'm going to plug that electric knife and I'm going to let that thing do the work. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's talk about how we share jointly and equally with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Say this with me. Say, fear is bondage. And you don't want to be in bondage, do you? Then don't fear. And anything associated, don't get involved with fear's offsprings or children, like worry or concern. Okay? You have not received the spirit to fear. But what kind of spirit did you receive? You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have a spirit of adoption. An adoption, people don't have to adopt. They do it because they choose to do it. And when you're adopted, that means you were handpicked. You were chosen by God. He didn't have to, but he chose you. And the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption, chose us. We have the spirit of adoption. And because of the spirit of adoption, we can cry, Daddy, God. We can call God Daddy. Say, God is my Daddy. Okay? And the Spirit should say himself, but King James says itself, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had an inward witness. You now could identify yourself as God's child. Amen? You could know that you're part of his family. Because there's the spirit of adoption bears witness with our spirit, okay, that we are the children of God. Listen, children of God ought to know that they're children of God. Are you a child of God? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then maybe you haven't received the spirit of adoption. Notice when you receive the spirit of adoption, it results in saying something. You now call God Daddy. Okay, verse 17. If children, if you have the spirit of adoption, and the spirit of adoption is bearing witness with your spirit, you're our child, and if a child, then an heir, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. I want you to notice something. You're joint heirs with what? What is Christ? Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. Did you know that you're joint heirs with the anointing? The anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. The anointing is the power of God. The anointing breaks chains. The anointing pulls you out of the pit. The anointing changes things. And we are joint heirs with Christ, with the anointed one, the Messiah. We are joint heirs. Whatever he gets, we get. Could the devil harass Jesus? Could he? He could tempt him, but could he harass him? Some of you aren't sure. What? God gave us the power to do what to devils? To cast them out. If Jesus has the power to cast out devils, then you have the power to cast out devils. Did Jesus ever have a sick day? We never read in the Gospels where Jesus called the Father and said, Father, I can't work today because I'm not feeling well. If he can walk in divine health, you and I can walk in divine health. Beloved, 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and what? Be in health. Be in health is walking in health. Listen, God wants you to walk health. It's great that we can get healed, but God wants us to walk in health. Now, sometimes that means we're lacking wisdom. Could Jesus fulfill his purpose? If Jesus can fulfill his purpose, then you and I can fulfill our purpose. Why? Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Could Jesus feed 5,000 people? Then guess what? If 5,000 people show up to your house, you can feed 5,000 people. How do I know that? Who did Jesus ask to feed them? The disciples. He said, you feed them. But see, they didn't realize that they were joint heirs with Christ. Some of them were starting to get a glimpse. Well, we have someone here. Well, if I was to spend money, I could spend this amount of money, but that wouldn't be enough. But then Andrew found a little boy with a little lunch. He said, but what is that among so many? He says, come on, give it to the heir. If Jesus can multiply things, then you can multiply things. This is what it means to be a joint heir. If you purchased land and a husband and a wife sign their name on that deed, they are joint owners of that land. How many has opened up a bank account, a joint checking account? A joint checking account means there's more than one name on that account. That means if you're a joint owner of that account, you have signing rights. You can put money in and you can take money out because you are joint on that account. The people who are joint owners of that account have equal access to what's in that account. Man, this is good. Woo, I want to shout. Okay? Go to Go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Praise God. Say, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, and you maintain my lot. My lot is the things that belong to me. Who watered the land that God gave to Israel? God watered it. You read Deuteronomy chapter 11, and he says the earth drinks in the rain from heaven. So the Lord, he is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Now, something happens about your cup. David's head was anointed, and what happened to his cup? Now, get this now. David was anointed, and we're joint heirs to the anointing, and what happens to our cup? Your cup, your ability to contain the blessing of God, was designed to overflow. What good is a cup overflowing? A cup overflowing means what the goodness that God does to you overflows to other people. Have you ever taken a 2-liter bottle of soda and shook it up? And open it, what happens? Anybody within a certain distance of you gets soda on them. All right? This is what the blessing and the goodness of God is designed to do. God wants the goodness that he's showing to you, he wants that to get on others. So your cup was designed to run over. Okay? Verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Did you know that you have a good heritage? You come from good stock. Amen? You have good genetics. You have divine DNA in you. Your makeup is the nature of God on the inside of you. Okay? Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Next to Galatians, this is my second favorite passage of Scripture. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just read verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Would you say that Simon Peter was a joint heir with Christ? He was doing what Christ wanted him to do. He was being who Christ wanted him to be. Okay? To them that have obtained like precious faith. Am I talking to some people who have obtained like precious faith? How did you obtain like precious faith? Faith only comes by one way. Hearing, and hearing what? Amen. So I'm talking to a group of people who have obtained like precious faith because you've heard the word of God. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be dabbed on you. It didn't say dabbed. He didn't say a little dab will do you. What did he say about grace and peace? He wants grace and peace multiplied to you. Grace is God's ability, and peace is calm in trouble. We're in troubling times. And if there was ever a time we need the peace of God, it is today. And God wants grace and peace multiplied. Listen, 2 plus 10 is 12, but 2 times 10 is 20. When you multiply something, you make more of it. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us a few things. It didn't give us a few things? What gave us all things? His divine power. His divine power gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, God's divine power has given you everything you need for this life and for the next life, for your natural life and your spiritual life. Say, I have everything I need. Already. Say, I'm fully equipped. Say, I cannot fail. Could Jesus fail? Then you can't fail if you follow him. And you should follow him because you're a joint heir with Christ. Okay? So his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So the more you know about him, the more you can access what's been given to you. The less you know about him, the less you can access what has been given to you. You know, some people, their faith is built on salvation, but not on healing. They're good at getting people saved, but they're not good at getting people healed because they haven't heard the word preached on being healed. But they've heard the word preached on being saved, so they're good at that. They're strong in that, but they're weak in this. But through the knowledge of him who called you to glory and virtue. Did you know that you were called to glory? And you were called to virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. Okay? Now it gets better. Whereby are given to who? To us. Notice what's been given to us. Exceeding great and precious promises. What you think is great, God exceeds. What you think is good, God does better. God is able to do exceedingly above what you could ask or think. Okay? I mean, he told Abraham, not only was he going to have one kid, but his kids were going to be as the stars and the sand. Can you count the stars? Can you count the sand? Abraham couldn't even count how many kids was going to be credited to him. Because God is a too much God. So, I get really, really excited about words like exceeding great and precious. What do you do with something that's precious? You take care of it. What's precious to us is God's promises. When you need a miracle, you stand on His promises. Amen? You don't just sit near the premises, but you got to stand on the promises. So notice that these exceeding great and precious promises were given to us. Why were they given to us? Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Because when you accept Jesus Christ, you get the whole package. In other words, Jesus is the whole enchilada. When you get Jesus, you get everything else. Jesus is the spiritual shady maple buffet. Jesus is the Chicago-style hot dog. Jesus is the supreme pizza. What is my point? You get everything on it. Everything's included. Okay. That by these exceeding great and precious promises. By the promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. How come it's might? Because this is where faith comes in. See, you can hear that you've been given exceeding great and precious promises. But if you never do anything with those promises, you will not be a partaker of the divine nature. See, you've got to take these promises and you've got to hear them, you've got to accept them, and you've got to do them. Amen? If you don't hear them, accept them, or do them, they cannot benefit you. How many people have never accepted the Lord as their Savior simply because they haven't heard? There are others who've heard and reject it, but there are others who haven't heard. That by these promises, you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Who has the divine nature? Jesus, right? He is divine and we are the branches. I'm just seeing if you're awake. Well, He is divine, but He is divine too. So, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, when you become a partaker of the divine nature, you escape the corruption. In other words, you come out from under the dominion of sin, and now you operate in true freedom. You come out from under the law, and now you operate by grace. That's what it means to receive these promises. You receive these promises because you're an heir. You have a right to every promise in the Bible. Now, someone once said that there were about 7,000 promises in God's Word. I haven't gotten a hold of all 7,000 yet, amen? Have you? Well, that just means that you keep finding out more promises. You keep getting a hold of more promises, amen? Just imagine the person. Imagine the results that a person would have if they memorized every promise that God gave by memorization. My goodness. You know, one time when we were at Lee, well, I was there. I don't know if Fiona was there yet. I went there before she did. And we had chapel every week. And they had this special guest. His name was Max McLean, I believe. Well, he did, what do you call it when one person just does a monologue, okay? He did a monologue of the entire book of Acts. That he acted out, he emphasized the entire book of Acts, word for word, chapter for chapter. So he had to memorize all the book of Acts. And he just did that for a performance. Amen? Imagine if we would just memorize the book of Acts and put it into practice for real living. Can you do that with God's word? Can you memorize God's word so that you can actually put it into practice in daily life? That's what it was designed for. And see, when we become partakers of the divine nature, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So now we're in a position to activate these promises. It's amazing how Jesus sent out the 12 disciples in Matthew 10, and he sent out the 70 in Luke 10. And it is amazing how when he sent them out, they did what he did. He said, in Matthew 10, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, freely you have received, freely give. So they actually could go and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils just like he did. And the 70, they did the same thing, and they were amazed. They came back to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, can you imagine? Even the devils are subject to us. Say that. Say, the devil is subject to me. But so many people go around and act like they're subject to the devil. They get all up in arms because he's chasing them. How can someone chase you when they're under your foot? I don't know how that works. They went and got the same results that Jesus got because they took him at his word. He said, go and do this, and guess what? They went and did it. So when you operate as a joint heir, you can say what Jesus said, you can do what Jesus did, and you can get the same results. Amen? Did you know that if the devil is giving you a problem, God doesn't expect you to pray to him about it? Because he's already given you authority to deal with it. Do you realize if Jesus can go into a church and the devil screams, ah, it's the Son of God, what did he tell the devil to do? He told the devil to shut up. Could the devil speak after that? The devil had to shut up and the devil had to leave. But when you understand, when you walk in the reality that you're a joint heir and you're a partaker of the divine nature, you can do what he did and you can say what he said and get the same results. So you can go to Russia, Abba, and you can tell the devil to sit down and shut up. Amen. And he's got to obey. Because you have been given authority, just like the divine nature, to cast devils out. And I want you to see that these promises are given to us. You know, Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verses 3 and 4, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Isn't that interesting? How right now he's preparing a place for each one of us. And when you get there, when you get promoted, now let me just say something about that. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, right? Then the judgment. Where does the Bible say you have a time? when someone dies, we say, oh, it must have been their time. Really? How do you know that? God's eternal, so God doesn't keep track of time, per se, does he? You ought to strive to get to the point where you can say, I've ran my race and I finished my course. Paul never said, whoo, it's about my time. You know, he knew that he was going to Rome, but he also knew that he finished his course and he ran his race. And he finished his course with joy. So, listen, don't plan on leaving this earth until you finish your assignment. And if you haven't finished your assignment yet, don't agree with the devil. Hey, listen, I've passed up marvelous opportunities to be promoted. For some reason, the enemy thinks he can use vehicles against me. But he has not succeeded and will not succeed. Amen? Because I'm going to be around until my course is finished, until I see a thriving group of people walking in their inheritance. I am passionate about people obtaining their inheritance and finding their treasure in God's Word. I get excited when I see you walking in your inheritance, when I see you having your treasure. Say, this is my treasure, and I'm walking in it. That gets me excited. That's what motivates me. That's why I get up here week after week and do what I do and preach with the passion that I do, because this is what drives me. This is what motivates me. This is what I'm called to do. So the quicker you get a hold of it, the quicker I can go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only kidding. Wasn't that what Paul said? He said, I want to go, but it's more beneficial for me to help you. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I want to go, but I need to stay around here a little bit longer. It's okay to have fun, amen? Amen. It's okay to smile. Listen, yeah, we're made of clay, but our clay hasn't been baked where it can't be moved. Amen? You know, I used to take years ago when I lived in Illinois, I went with some friends, and every week we would go to this, it was like a pottery place. And to this day, my mom still has an owl that I painted. And we had to shave the rough edges off, and we painted it, then they put it in the kiln, and they baked it. She still has it at the house. And once the clay's been baked, it doesn't move. And, you know, if you break it, it shatters. You're not baked clay, amen? Well, you can't move your face and put a smile on it. See, this is like baked clay. When you crack a joke, if you try to smile, you break, you know? I don't know why I said all that. I just want to have fun, amen? And Jesus went on to say in John 14:4, that where I am, you may be also. God wants you where he is. And he's made you you. So don't try to be someone else. Be who God made you to be. Fill your shoes out to the fullest. I remember Richard Roberts, when he first became president of ORU, he was fretting because he said, how am I going to fill my father's shoes? You know, he kept going over that in his mind. How am I going to fill my father's shoes? And finally, the Lord just spoke to him and said, you just fill your shoes to the tip. And he, you know, he realized that he wore a different shoe size than his father. And guess what? He stopped fretting. God doesn't want you to be someone else. He wants you to be you. And the greatest success that you can be is to be you. So he's going to, where he is, he wants us to be. And where he goes, you know the way you know and the way you know. That's when Thomas asked, we don't know the way. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So let's walk in our inheritance. Say, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Now, as a joint heir, listen, Jesus didn't get up. He didn't get involved in the mess of the world. What I mean is, he didn't talk like the world. He didn't act like the world. He acted from a different kingdom. He walked with a different perspective. Amen? So you've got to see yourself as a joint heir. You've got to see yourself as it's no longer you who are living, but it's Christ living through you. And the life that you now live, you got to live by faith in the Son of God. So let's not get involved in petty things to try to, all those things are try to trip you up and get you off course. Amen? Don't give the devil the satisfaction of letting you get off course for your life. Amen? You stay the course. You be what God's called you to be. Every one of us in this room has a calling from God. I believe Caleb is called to be a doctor. Lord knows we need Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled doctors in the medical facilities. We need someone that not only can sew you up, but can pray you up. Amen? We need people in every area of life. Maybe you're wondering, well, why? How come I am working where I am? Because, listen, a light works best where it's dark. So you might as well just shine. If you're in a dark place, shine. Because when you turn the light on, the darkness flees. But I really want you to start walking as a joint heir. You share jointly. You're a child of God and an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Amen? And that is the blessing of your inheritance. And there will be more to come next Wednesday, so stay tuned. Don't leave this VCF channel. And maybe you know some people that could benefit from this information. You can invite them, and you can go a step further. You can bring them. Amen? This is a good, safe place. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight. Thank you, Lord, for moving by your Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for sealing us in our inheritance. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that tonight, with the information that we have, we're going to walk different. We're going to think different, and we're going to talk different in our life in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon each one tonight that's heard your word. Father, I pray that you would activate this word in their hearts and that they would go out forth and do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's just wait for just a minute. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stand up and let's just praise the Lord for our inheritance. This is an attitude of a possessor. Okay? Are you blessed or distressed? Are you humble or do you grumble? Are you at rest or stressed about the test? Do you lay claim to God's promise or complain about your circumstance? Are you spiritually fit or do you throw a fit? Is God your source? And do you follow his course? Do you trust or fuss? Jesus is the way, so follow him today. The Lord is your supply, and he won't let you die. Amen? So that's an attitude of a possessor. Say, I'm a possessor. I possess every promise that I've heard God speak to me, that he's given me, because I know his promises cannot fail, he cannot lie, and he doesn't change. So he expects me to walk in all these promises in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yep, see, he doesn't change, so he expects you to walk in him. Doesn't time is not an issue. Amen. You be blessed.